Let's open our Bibles to Philippians 3. I'm going to read this morning just from 12 to 14. Pastor Greg is going to come and preach on here in just a moment. All right, so Philippians 3, starting at verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Well, I trust that you did have a great Christmas together. Our whole family was together, and we read the Christmas story, and then we sing Christmas carols. And if you've never heard a two-year-old and a four-year-old sing Go Tell It on the Mountain, you're missing out. So anyway, we have special time together. But things keep rolling on, right? Now in a couple days here, we will have a new year. And traditionally, we just say, Happy New Year. And I think, well, why do we say that? Well, you know, because it's a new start. There's potential. We don't know what's going to happen. But we say, well, I'm wanting and wishing and praying for you that you'll have a good new year. Maybe you've seen on TV or newspapers or magazines, oftentimes this time of year, they reflect back on this past year. And this year certainly has been one for the history books, hasn't it? And it sort of reviews, well, this is what's happened over this last year. And then it often will have, well, what does the next year look like? And there's kind of some predictions. And maybe sometimes it even goes beyond just, you know, the next year, but, you know, 5 years, 10 years, or whatever. And we kind of do that too, don't we? We personally sort of look back, well, how was this year? And then we look forward sometimes in different categories. Financially, well, we did that last year. What are we looking at this year? Or there's projects at home. Or things at work, or maybe we even have words for this, goals or hopes that wishes, we call them New Year's resolutions. Well, this year I'm going to do this. Maybe it has to do with, again, anything, finances or exercise or weight or something. Well, today's passage that Joe just read is a passage where a man looks back at the past and even his present and looking into the future. Now, not predicting anything, but just kind of taking a look and thinking about that. So we're going to look over his shoulder. Now, who is this? Well, this was Paul. The year is somewhere between 60 and 62 A.D., and Paul, of all places, is not comfortably lying on his couch at home, but he's in prison. He's in a Roman prison. And he writes this book, Philippians, which if you remember, earlier this past year, we spent some time in the whole book. And we realize that it's very much, he talks about joy. It's a book of joy and rejoice and joyful, all those words and ideas really come through. Here's the idea. We just really need to have God's vision for us for our new year. God's perspective. What's the new year going to be look like? Well, let's take three looks, and you'll catch on quickly. He's going to first look at the present, right now. So when you and I look at our life right now, how do we see it? How do we evaluate it? What is it that we sort of look at? We take a look at our family and our friends and work and not just relational or financial, but spiritual. Well, how am I doing with God? My relationship with God. What do you actually look at? What do you focus on? Well, he's going to say, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. He's going to say, don't look for perfection. You can read that little cartoon. He says, I'm not looking for perfection. He says, I've not already obtained this or already am perfect. Obtained what? We didn't read it, but two verses before in verse 10, he says, that I may know him, Jesus, and the power of his resurrection. Yes, I know Jesus, but not fully. I'm not there yet. Paul says there's some things that I still need to work for. I've not become perfect. That only happens when either Jesus comes back or when we get to heaven. Now, I do got to say, down through the centuries and even today, there are some Christians who do think that here on earth you can reach moral perfection. You can say, I have obtained this, but the scriptures don't say that, and certainly our experience doesn't say that either. So don't strive, I got to be careful about this, but don't set yourself up where you have to be perfect all the time, right? Where failure is not an option. It's always, you've always got to do it right. So it could look like this. You know, I'm going to, maybe this year, I'm going to, my devotional life, that could use some improvement. I'm going to spend 1 hour every day reading my Bible and praying, and I'm never going to miss. Well, you know what? I hate to burst your bubble, but you probably are. That's probably too high of a goal to set. Or I'm going to exercise 5 days a week. That's probably not realistic either. You set yourself up, and then if you're a perfectionist, you don't reach it, and then you go, and then you just give up, or you quit. Or it shows up in your parenting. Maybe you had perfectionist parents, or maybe you are perfectionist parents, and you have very high standards, and your kids just don't meet them sometimes. And maybe they don't feel accepted because they always fall short. I like what one guy said. The closest to perfection anyone ever comes is when he's filling out a job application form. Right? You never say what you're bad at. You know, you're good at everything. But let's face it. We are imperfect. We live in an imperfect world. We're surrounded by imperfect people who model imperfection. So he says, let's go back. I've not already obtained this. I've not arrived at my goal. So I'm not looking for perfection, but I am going to strive for progress. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. So not perfection, but progress. The theological term for this is not glorification, that's perfection, but sanctification. We're growing in our spiritual life. Now Paul is satisfied with Jesus. That's not the problem. But he says, my Christian life, there's more to do. There's more to learn. There's more to grow in. I do know Jesus, but the more I know him, the deeper I want to know him. I want to keep going. I'm amazed that, because I don't know if this would be me, if I was chained up in a Roman prison, I don't know if I would be as passionate and determined as Paul was. He could have just said, well, this is sort of the end. I'm not going to do anything. Or maybe I'll just take it easy right now, and then when I get out, if I get out of prison, maybe then in the future I can do something. But for right now, But that wasn't his attitude. Right when he was in prison, he wrote to churches. He prayed. He sang praises to God. He even, through God's gospel, converted people some that had put him in prison in the first place. So he kept going. He said, I press on. That's an interesting term or image. If it's used in hunting, some of you like to hunt, it means to pursue, to chase after, to keep going. It also shows up in athletics, in running, where you keep going. In our town's celebration, it didn't happen this year, like a lot of places it was canceled. But ours is in July, called Rails to Trails, and we have a whole weekend of festivities and stuff. And Saturday morning, there's a race, 5K race, 5 kilometers is 3.1 miles. And I'm not like Ted who run year-round, don't you, in the winter and everything. I'm too wimpy for that. So in the spring, I start. And I run a mile, and think, oh boy, I could tell I haven't run for a while. Well, then you run that, and then you keep going, you get a little faster. Then I run the 2-mile course, and then I get a little faster. And you kind of keep going, and I'm not great. Usually I finish in the middle of the pack, and all sorts of people pass me. Guys pushing their kid in the stroller, and ladies with dogs, and I'm like, man, that doesn't bother me anymore. I just keep going and think, okay, well, this was my time last year. How am I doing? You know, I'll do better this year, or I'll train more, I'll train earlier, you know, or whatever. And I just want to make some progress. Usually the guys in the front are on the cross country team. I never see them. They are so far ahead, and I'm like, man, I'm not going to even try and compete with them. But I'm not really trying to compete against everybody else. I'm just trying to sort of compete against myself and make some progress. Well, Paul uses that kind of imagery elsewhere. I think even here he says, not just him, but every Christian, we're on this Christian life, on this race. We're past the starting point, he says, where I was laid hold of by Christ. But the goal is still forward. I've not yet received the prize, the potential. I haven't done everything God has for me. So the question is, are we making progress? From, I don't know, last year, can you see progress? Now, that's a little hard. You usually don't get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, well, have I grown one spiritual unit? You know, I mean, how do you sort of measure that, you know? But the Bible talks about that, the fruit of the Spirit, your character. And so, are you more patient this year than you were last year? Are you more loving? Are you more disciplined and holy? Or take financially, you know, are you a better steward of what God has given you? Are you more generous? Have you grown in that area? If the two greatest commandments kind of that summarize things, love God and love other people, How am I doing at loving God? My worship, my prayer life, as I read the Bible, as I trust God. And am I loving other people? People in my family, and my neighbors, and people at work, and friends. And again, it's hard to sort of objectify, or there's no checklist necessarily, but God says, are you making progress? So that's a look at the present, where you are right now. Well, he's also going to tell us to look at the past. He says this, one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, that's the past, straining toward what's ahead. Now, you can't totally forget the past because we learn from the past. But forget is not fail to remember, because there are some things in the past you do need to remember, definitely. But it's more, no longer let that be influenced by you. Don't be affected by that. He says, forget what's behind. Well, what do you forget that's behind? Well, he doesn't totally tell us that. But let me offer two things that he'll help us. One is we need to forget past failures. If you remember the story of Paul, before he was a Christian, his name was Saul, and he had a very bad past. He persecuted Christians. In fact, he got permission to hunt them down and kill them. We have a word for that. He was a terrorist. That's what he was before he knew Jesus. And he could have, all his life, struggled with guilt over that. He even calls himself the chief of sinners. So it's not that he totally forgot about that, but he didn't let that affect him. The guilt or the pressure or just the idea of failure. Now, you and I probably haven't done anything like that, but we've messed up along the way. You know, maybe last year you resolved to lose 5 pounds, but you gained 10. Or like our friend says, COVID-19, the 19 stands for the 19 pounds you gained from being at home and just... And that just didn't work. Or last year you purchased a one-year Bible. That is, it sort of has a Bible reading plan so that in 1 year, if you kind of go through it, you read through the whole Bible. And you realized you got as far as halfway through Genesis. And you think, boy, I messed up on that. What happened? Well, you just kind of need to forget that. Okay, that was last year. Yeah, a new year coming. Or maybe you had a resolution to share the gospel with your neighbor. Boy, that guy, I really want to share the gospel with. And now the year is gone and so is your vow. Well, don't beat yourself up over that. Just let's move on. Sometimes I struggle with this. In fact, this morning, our son who lives in Illinois, and his wife were home for Christmas, and he calls us in the car on the way here, and he says, I think you guys took my wife's winter coat. I'm like, oh, no. Sure enough, I grabbed Kayla's coat thinking it was Debbie's, and we're like, we'll mail it to you. Well, that kind of bothered me driving to church today. I'm like, how can I do that, you know? And my wife was very gracious and said, it's okay, you know, and I'll mail it and she'll get it. She has another coat that she can wear, so that's good. But I think there's a lot of stuff like that. Whether it's something big or small, it can really hinder us. And those are some things that you need to forget, those failures. I think another thing that can challenge us is even our successes. I think Some of those we need to forget. Now, you can't change the past in any of this, but you can change how it affects you. Now, if we can remember past successes and we're grateful, oh, God, thank you for how that worked. Wow, Lord, I see some progress in my life, you know, and that's a good thing. But if it makes us arrogant or self-sufficient or complacent, hey, I had success and I'm done with that area. I don't need to grow anymore. Well, then that's a bad thing. We need to forget our past successes. Either way, sometimes our memories can be tricky about good things or bad things. I think of an elephant at the circus. Have you ever been to the circus or seen it or whatever? And there's this 10-ton elephant. His time's not yet there, but he's ready to go. And he's staked down to this little, with a little chain and a stake. Think, golly, can't he just pull that up? Well, he can. But see, what happens is the trainer starts him out as a baby elephant, and the baby can't. He's chained. And the elephant, who does have a great memory, but they're not really smart, remembers that the rest of his life. You can't pull away from that chain. Some of us are chained to our past, whether good or bad, and it affects us and how we live and how we think about what we can do and what we can't do. And sometimes our past are things that we need to forget. Well, maybe you had a great year. You had a banner year, right? However you want to measure it. Well, that's great. Thank you, Lord. That could be our attitude. But let's not stop there, right? I think of Paul's successes, right? He was this missionary. He traveled all over. He started churches. He wrote half the New Testament. He could have just said, you know, that's pretty good. In fact, better than any of you can do. But Paul doesn't say that. He says, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. It's like a professional athlete who had a really good year, right, with however many touchdowns or home runs or championships. You never hear a pro football player say, well, I won a Super Bowl. I don't want to win anymore. You don't hear that. No. He keeps going. He wants another one. So the past. Well, if we've done the present and the past, he's going to finish with this. Let's talk about the future. He says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. When we look at the future, what is it that we actually look for or have our focus, our perspective on in the future? Well, he's going to say, there's some potential there. Right? 2021, in a couple days here, it's a clean slate. It's got great potential. Next year. And he's saying, going back to the race metaphor, he says, the race isn't over. So the runner, you can't congratulate yourself on how many laps you've done so far, because you're not done. And you can't look over your shoulder, see how good I've gone so far. Well, yes, but you still got further to go. You haven't crossed the finish line yet. So keep going. We won't go back, but you could hear in the verses his determined attitude. Verse 12, I press on. Verse 13, one thing I do. Verse 14, I press on. There's determination there and commitment and passion. Okay, I'm going to keep going. So right now, we're still in 2020. Your and my new year has great potential. right? And we need to look to that and say, well, God, what are you going to do in this year? I'm going to press on. See, when a tree ceases to grow, well, then it starts to die. If a fountain ceases to flow, then it's going to become stagnant. If a motor sits idle for too long, it's not going to work great. Or maybe it won't even start. So for us Christians, there's no such thing as spiritual hovering. Like, well, I'll just stay right where I am right now, and this will be good. Well, God says, no, there's more I want to do more in your life. And I want to do more in through your life. There's great potential. No doubt, as we look back on 2020, it's kind of hard to evaluate. I don't know about you. Because it was so different, right? Nothing like we ever experienced. You can't really compare it to other things. And it may be a little hard to sort of know, well, how was it and how did we do? But that's okay. And yes, 2021, there may be some of the same factors and influences. But God, I'm striving toward the future. Why? Why would we do this? Because of the future prize, he says. There's a prize. Now, what prize? What is worth the effort to keep going for so long and so hard? It's not salvation. This is not, I'm trying to work my way to heaven. No. To be in the race, you got to be a Christian already. But it's, and in the prize back then, in the Olympic Games, way back when, it was a crown. Now we have medals, right? Gold, silver, and bronze medals. But here he says, the Bible says we have crowns that we can give to Jesus and say, here, in honor of you, here's what I've done. So why keep going? Why work so hard? Why not give up? Because of the future prize. And we have that here. Earth. I think of women who are having a baby, pregnant women. Yes, when the pregnancy comes full term, the child is born. But in the meantime, you got to go through 9 months of pregnancy, right? That's still what it is, right? I mean, that doesn't change forever, right? Think of what women, you moms, have to do. You go through the hard work. You're willing to be sick and maybe feel a little unattractive, or you have headaches and backaches, and you can't eat certain things, but you do want to eat other things, and all that stuff, plus much more. Why do women do that? Because a baby's worth it, isn't it? She knows what's going to happen at the end. I shouldn't know all the details, but she knows that's where she's going. And so she's willing to put up with all of that. And even stuff that she hadn't planned on or expected. She says, oh, yeah, but it's worth it. And I don't know if you women totally ever forget it all, but often all that stuff you went through, the joy of having a baby just overshadows a lot of that. Say, oh, this was so worth it. So why don't we give up? Why do we keep going? Why do we talk about a new year and new things for God to do in us and through us? Because it's worth it. So, brothers and sisters, be encouraged today. Hear that it is worth it. It's always too quick, too soon to just give up or give in or lose hope. No, it's not. God is still at work. So I'm going to just end with just being very practical. You can write this down or think of it in your mind. By God's grace, I will trust him in 2021 for these things. There's probably more than three, but I didn't want to be too overwhelming. But can you think of a couple things that God would have you do? You looked at the past, 2020, almost over. Don't let your failures or successes hinder you. It's a new year. And presently, just take time to evaluate. Well, God, how am I doing? Don't make yourself better and don't make yourself worse, but just try and be as honest and as objective as you can. God, show me some things. Maybe I'm kind of blind to or I haven't thought of. And then the future. It's not there yet, but God, there's still work to be done. There's still things you want me to do. What is that? Help me figure some of that out. Help me even take some practical steps to do that. So it's not just, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes New Year's resolutions, and you make them, and then a week afterwards, you're kind of discouraged, and a month, you're defeated, and 2 months, you've just forgotten about it altogether. Well, don't let that happen. Just say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Just personally, you know where I'm at. God, help me to keep going because it's worth it. Well, let me pray for us. I'll give you a few seconds to talk to the Lord, and then I'll close in prayer. Lord, you know how this past year, 2020, has been it's been different in a lot of ways for our country and for us personally. But thank you that you have seen us through. You are always faithful. You are faithful. You will continue to be faithful. And so we look to you. We trust you. We want to follow what you have for us individually, as a family, as a church family. So help us make the best of the time that you have given us with the resources and gifts. And Lord, you know each of our situations. And you have a special, specific plan for each of us. And so help us to trust you and obey you. Thank you, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.